This call is being recorded.
Good day, everyone. This is Renee Rentmeester. I'm the creator and executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show and podcast. And today we have someone that you might have heard of from her group on Facebook, The Blind Side of Cooking with Flo. And I noticed it right away. Today we have Flo Dudek. Flo, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. And how are you?
I'm doing great now, too. I'm always doing great when I actually see the person that's going to be on the podcast in front of me. So,
right.
I know things are going to go well at that point. So, as we usually do, we just talk a little bit about your history, you know, your journey as a person who has lost your sight and blindness. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I started going blind about 20 years ago. I had gone to the Lighthouse of Central Florida, and they took me to go get my eyes checked over at the doctor, and the doctor said that, you know, you're losing your vision. I have macular degeneration, retinal detachment, glaucoma, and myopia, and I also have some sort of an optical aneurysm behind my eye, and I have three other aneurysms. In 2015, I collapsed, was rushed to the ER, and they found that I had a cerebral aneurysm rupture.
Oh my God.
I would have been dead if I didn't get the help immediately. So that happened in 2015, and then I was in the hospital for 2 weeks in a brain trauma unit, and it wasn't easy, but it had, you know, God gave me the strength to get through that and help the, you know, the surgeons use their skills for me. And then in 2017, I had a stroke, and then in 2018, I had to have a clipping due to the cerebral aneurysm because that was opening back up. So I had a craniotomy, which is basically brain surgery, and they found the three other aneurysms surrounding that one. But I'm blessed, and I'm still here walking and talking by the grace of God.
Wow, you've been through the mill and back. That is amazing. What were some of your thoughts as this was all going on?
Huh?
What were some of your thoughts as this was going on? Were you frightened? Were you worried about losing your sight? What were you thinking?
At first, when I started losing my eyesight, it was Thanksgiving, and I was trying to make a recipe out of a cookbook, and I was so annoyed, but I reached out to a friend of mine, and she's like, you know, you just have to take it one day at a time, don't stress yourself out, and I did just that, because I had two boys I had to raise, you know, and you can't, you know, you have to show them. There is no obstacle that can't be overcome at all. And, you know, no matter the obstacle, you can get through it. But you have to have faith in yourself and faith in God in order to do so.
And, yeah.
You know, I have my sad times and my good times, and I even still. But I don't ask why me, because I was always told by my parents, there's always somebody who's worse off than you.
That's true. That's true. Exactly.
I walk.
Well, what did your son say? It was sort of like having a new mom and a new world for them.
Yes. Well, my youngest one, he was only 5 at the time. And, you know, I had to learn to take the bus. So, you know, I lost my driver's license. I had to learn to take the bus to, you know, around. And I did that. And, you know, we all took the bus together. You know, so, you know, one of them drives and one of them doesn't. One's 33 and the other one is 26. And the one drives because he has a child. The youngest one, he doesn't drive because he chooses not to. He can, because why waste my money on a car when I can walk to work?
Right, exactly. And you know, there's gas, there's the insurance, uh-huh. there's if someone runs into you, you know, all those things. And if you really need a ride, you can, like these days, you can get a Lyft or a...
Yeah, and then, you know, then, grocery shopping, that was an obstacle. You know, we would have to walk to the grocery store with the shop our shopping cart and then walk back. And it was 2 miles each way, living in Orlando, Florida. And, you know, you make the kid get up early if you're going to go because you don't want to go midday when the sun's bright and shiny.
Right, exactly. And the humidity.
Yes, and, you know, I taught them what I was taught. My father had polio, so he had just one arm, but he was a wonderful man. And, you know, I didn't appreciate that growing up.
Right, right. We never do.
Yeah, and no child does. And, you know, that's one of my regrets, but I'm not going to, you know, dwell in that. But, you know, I am honored because he taught me and us that no matter what your disability, you could still overcome. He drove a car. He made a living. He was a certified public accountant. And back in those days, my mom stayed home. Back in the day, they stayed home with their children, the women.
Sure. Exactly.
So, you know, and I think that's where I get my courage from. To not let anything stand in the way or try not to stand in the way. The only thing I really can't do is, well, drive a car. I can, but nobody wants me to drive that car.
Yeah, and the cars that they say are self-driving really aren't, because I actually went to one of the dealerships and you still have to keep your hands and your eyes on the road, even though they are self-driving. Correct. Because, you know, they can get out of the way, you know, they can hit something and take a turn. So you still have to have your eyesight even when the self-driving cars, at least the ones that are there now.
Correct.
So how did you enter this world now where you are blind? Do you have any of your eyesight left?
I can see a little bit of light out of my left eye. The right one, I call that my dead eye. And, you know, most people who meet me or whatever, I just tell them I'm a head case. And only because the issues, I know, right? The issues that I have are all in the head. You know, the blindness, the hearing loss, because I'm wearing hearing aids right now. See, and I have your voice in my head, so I have voices in my head. So, you know, I call myself a head case because the aneurysms, the blindness, the hearing loss, it's all up there.
Everything was in your head.
Yeah. So I'm a head case.
Did you find that people were reacting to you differently?
Some people, even some family members, you know, they don't understand that, you know, what you're going through, because they're not and they can't. They're not in your shoes. They're not in that position. You know, there are some days I can see a little better out of my left eye and some days not. Some days I could see the white line in the, you know, on the pavement, the black tar, and then sometimes I can't. So it's hard
now,
to
did
say.
You, did you cook before? You loved to cook before you went blind, right?
Yes, my career was in the food industry. So, you know, we grew up cooking with my mom. When we were little girls, we girls had to work in the house, and we cooked with my mother. We made, you know, we would make what they call homemade pierogies. That's an old process.
Polish.
Yes, we're Polish. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, we are too. My grandma used to make those. What was your favorite pierogi to make? The filling.
Oh, potato and cheese. Are you kidding?
There you go.
I like that one.
Did you ever try it with sauerkraut?
Yes, I don't like those. We did make the meat ones when we were little, but none of us, you know, when we were little, we had those meat grinders. You remember those ones that you clamped to the table?
Yes. They were heavy. They were like, it was like you just took a piece of the bridge and stuck it in your kitchen. They were very heavy.
Yes. And it took us as a family. There were my parents and three of us siblings until the fourth one came along 10 years after me. And we would sit there and make pierogies all day. My father, who had polio, he cut out the circles with a glass, and then we would fill them, and then we would send them back to him, and he would crimp them with the fork.
Yes, and the cheese and potato are the classic pierogies.
You bet. You bet.
And butter. Did you guys put butter on yours?
Butter and onions.
Oh, yep. I forgot the onions. You're right. Oh, my God. Yes. They're so good.
And we still make them to this day, my sister and I.
Wow. Well, you know what? And what kind of things did you do differently once you went blind and continued to cook? Did it take you long to get back into the kitchen?
No, because my boys were younger. I had no choice but to cook. And, well, you know, being on disability, you can't afford to eat out every day. And when you have two children, you really can't afford to eat out. So I had no choice. I had to figure something out and to do something so they can eat. You know, what I would do with them is I had a bread machine, so I would make homemade pizza. I would roll out the dough, and they were young. Of course, you know, children don't like too many vegetables. This is a great hint for parents to get the kids to eat their vegetables. You can make a pizza, even those store-bought ones. And what I did is I grated finely zucchini or broccoli into the sauce. And then I stirred it up, and then I would pour it on the pizza. And then the boys would look at it. What's that green stuff? I said, well, that's the herbs in the sauce. Oh. And then I said, put your toppings on that you want. Okay. And they ate it. They never knew until they turned 18. That's when I told them.
Oh, my God. That's too funny.
You got to trick these kids.
That's right. You disguise that pizza for something that it's not. But it's got all the veggies on it. And
That's right.
You know what? There are so many different ways to make veggies now. I know that, you know, when my mom would make them, it was just basically like maybe some butter and some salt and pepper. And that was it.
And from a can.
Yeah. And it just didn't taste good. But now, you know, people have gotten creative with their veggies, like you just mentioned, sticking them on the pizza. And I think one of my favorite ways were like the Brussels sprouts, where they actually slice them very thinly. They grate the Brussels sprouts. Mm-hmm. And I guess you soak them like 12 minutes ahead of time, and it gets rid of that little bitter taste. Right. And kids have more flavor in their veggies these days, and I don't think there's as much dislike for veggies.
Right. Right, yeah. What I do with my Brussels sprouts is I make my bacon wrapped Brussels sprouts. I wrap them in bacon, and then I'll air fry them. Oh my gosh, I can eat the whole bag of them when I buy them, because I buy fresh ones. And what I also do with that is I'll make a mixture of honey, if I feel like a honey, and sriracha sauce. And then I'll put them on there and put them back in the air fryer for like a minute or two, and then take them out and sriracha, honey, bacon wrapped Brussels sprouts.
Wow, that sounds amazing. So you're an air fryer. Tell us a little bit about your air fryer experience.
I have the Cuisinart toaster oven air fryer. It was a gift. It's just wonderful. I love it. It has control knobs that you can actually feel. I don't like anything digital because I want to be able to control it.
Right, right.
not some app, you know.
Exactly.
So it has control knobs on it that you can feel, and it's a convection oven, toaster oven air fryer. I also have the Cuisinart grill panini waffle maker, and that has control knobs on it that you can feel and turn to what you need it to do. And I've had that for probably going on 5 years now.
Sounds great. Yeah, I haven't stepped over into the air fryer generation yet. Annette Watkins on our show, she's a big air fryer as well. So you guys will get along great.
Oh, I love mine. I even cook, if I want a hot dog, I cook it in the air fryer.
Oh, wow. How long does it take in the air fryer?
Oh, yeah, 5 minutes. I just plop it in there and air fry it and then take it out and stick it on a bun.
Does it taste differently?
It tastes like it would be like grilled or something. It's really good and juicy. The air fryer traps in the juices when you're making meat.
I didn't know that. That is amazing.
I even make my ribs in the air fryer. What I do is I'll sprinkle some Jamaican jerk spice on them. I love that stuff. And I tightly wrap them in aluminum foil, and then I put it in my basket of my air fryer. Because the Cuisinart is big, so they can lay flat. I wrap them really tight in foil, and then I turn the air fryer on. Let's say about 350 degrees, and then I'll put it in for 90 minutes. Perfect. I don't even have to check on them or anything. And I have a talking meat thermometer as well. And, you know, when I check on them, I use my meat thermometer, and it definitely, you have to have 165 or higher for any meat, I think.
Now, this air fryer, that is must probably especially good for people who are blind or visually impaired to cook with. Would you agree?
Yes, it's great. You know, and I use what they call oven gloves. They are gloves. They're not oven mitts, and they have silicone on them. And, you know, I like my fingers individual. I don't like those oven mitts.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to handle that way when your fingers are individual. And I really love the oven gloves for that.
And those are all the way up your arm, or at least to your elbow, aren't they?
No, to above your wrist. But I also have these things called, some things that are sleeves that I wear. You know, if I'm using my big oven to make cookies, I stick my sleeves on, and then I tuck the cuff into the oven gloves. And this way, I don't burn my arms, because I did that one time, and that hurt like a dickens.
Hey, I've done that too, and I've got my sight. My daughter once said that maybe you should watch your show so they're not burning your arms all the time.
But, yeah, you can use, you know, I bought some sleeves off of Amazon and purposely for that. So I wouldn't do that again. You know, well, safety first in the kitchen.
I know, exactly. Well, today you sent a recipe over for your sriracha burgers, and it sounds a lot like you like things a little bit on the spicy side. Tell us about your sriracha burger, and how did you devise your sriracha burger?
Well, one day I was thinking, what am I going to do with this plain old boring burger? And I had sriracha sauce in the fridge. I was like, well, we'll see how it goes, because that's what I do. I just throw stuff together.
Right, right.
Sometimes that's good, and sometimes it doesn't. And it came out really great. And then I posted the recipe on Facebook on my cooking page and in the cooking group. And several people had made it. Oh, this is great. You know, we're going to make this again, and you can do it with either turkey burger, ground turkey, or beef. or a mixture now, of both.
Do you put them in your, do you put your burgers in the air fryer?
You could. I like mine grilled, so I use my Cuisinart grill for that.
Okay, okay.
And what I do is when I'm making them, it's 1 pound of ground beef or ground turkey or a mixture of both, and then to your liking, 2 to 3 tablespoons of the sriracha sauce, and then just mix it together and then form your patties. And then either grill, air fry, or pan fry, however you want to do it. And it's, anybody can make the recipe. It's really easy.
Well, when I saw it, I'm like, what a great idea. And oh my God, my mouth was watering. I don't necessarily like things that are hot, but I do like a little spice in them. And it sounded like, oh, this sounds great. What a great idea.
And then I decided the picture I had sent you, because I had labeled it, I had decided to put on an avocado, sliced avocado, and some bacon on it. And I'm like, wow, that it came out really good.
It does. It sounds amazing. Now, do your grandchildren, do they eat it?
My granddaughter, well, I haven't cooked at their house yet.
Okay.
They were living in a small apartment. I'm not saying small, I mean small. And, you know, there's really no room for me to cook. And my job when I go visit is Granny or Nana is to play with my granddaughter, because I only have the one grandchild for now.
Oh, yes, yes.
And so that's my job. No, you play with her. And that's it. And then they've just bought a home, so now she has her own room. And, you know, when I go there, my daughter-in-law is going to set up the kitchen for me. I'm going to bring my Braille labeler and some Bumpy Dots, and she's going to set it up for me. And then she'll say, have at it, Nana. As long as
cute.
I'm able to use whatever appliance she has.
Right, right. Oh, my God. That is so adorable. Have you taught your granddaughter a little bit about blindness or visual impairment?
Yes. But, you know, we've FaceTimed, we've been telling her, because she is only 4 years old, so it's hard
right.
for them to understand.
Sure.
And so what we do is we tell her Nana's eyes are broken. Well, I was there in March, and Santa got her a toolkit, and it was pink. And when I was there in March, she brings a toolkit out, and she looks at me and she goes, Nana, I'm going to fix your broken eyes. And I'm like, please keep that hammer and screwdriver away from me. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
They're so cute at that age. You know, they want to do anything to help. Or my son will say, take Nana. Nana has to go potty. Take her to the bathroom. Because we're teaching her.
Sure.
And she'll take me to the bathroom. I'll turn around, shut the door, and I'm going to get ready to use the bathroom. Well, who's in there? Is little Charlie. And I'm like, no, you got to go out. No, I have to help Nana. And I open the door and I'll push her out. You know, not hard. I'll just.
Yeah. A little guidance.
She'll have a fit because Nana's in the bathroom without her because Nana needs her. And then I'll come out and then we'll go back to playing Legos or whatever we do. But
I think,
you know, that's how we teach them.
Sure. You teach compassion, you know, at the same time and understanding. I think kids are a little more understanding and compassionate than even adults. Adults, it sort of like throws a monkey wrench into their thinking.
Yes, I know. Because, you know, when I go to my mailbox in my apartment complex where I live in North Carolina, you know, do you need help opening up your mailbox? Seriously? Why would I need help opening up a mailbox? You know, or when I'm taking my trash to the dumpster, you know, I live alone. I'm independent as I can be.
Right, right.
I pay my bills. I do everything I got to do for me. You know, and there are some people, oh, how do you manage? I was like, well, like anybody else to me, you know, you just, it's some people, they let their vision get them down and they can't do this and do that and accomplish, and they feel bad for themselves and sorry for themselves. Well, you can't do that. You have to have the will to go on and to make your life as happy as you can.
Exactly. You know, and that's true for all of us, but it's especially true, you know, if you've lost your sight, or even if you lost, you know, your ability to walk or speak or whatever, you know, you just have to get over that. And
correct.
That's, you know, that's why we have the show and the podcast, because I think, you know, it's not the disability that is making it difficult for you. It's how others perceive your disability and thinking
correct.
You can't do things.
Yes, correct. But you also have to have the will to want to overcome those obstacles.
Right, right.
That are put in your path. You know, it may take us longer to do something like vacuum a carpet or wash a floor, you know, or even do the dishes. But as long as we're doing it, you know, who cares if it takes longer?
Exactly. You just get it done. That's the main thing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, my sons, you know, I love them to pieces. And I would do anything for them. The one thing I won't do for them, you know, is bail them out of if they got in themselves into anything that they shouldn't have. Let's put it that way.
Right, right.
You know, a lot of parents nowadays are doing that. Like my youngest one, when he first got a cell phone, he and his friend downloaded $75 worth of ringtones.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was in middle school.
Yep.
Let's put it this way. I hit the fan. It hit the fan with him. I said, all right. Well, I'm sorry, Mom. I said, well, that's okay, because you're paying. How am I going to pay for it? I said, well, how much do you have in your savings account? He goes, what do you mean? And I said, exactly that. How much is in your savings account? $80. I said, okay, good. We're going to your bank and you're going to take out $75. And then we're going to AT&T and you are going to pay it. Well, that's not fair. I said, oh, really? How fair is it of you to download $75 worth of ringtones and not asking me if it was all right? And also, that took out of the grocery money. So,
you hit him where it hurt.
I did not bail him out of that. I made him do that. He also, you know, when he turned 18, I said, all right, your job is, because he graduated high school, I said, you can get a job, go to college, do both full time, do one part time. I said, but in 1 year, if you were still living with me, that's up to you. You can move or whatever. I said, you will be paying me rent. And it's like, how much? And I said, $50 a month. And I just picked that out of the air.
Right.
And I said, it provides your cell phone service. It'll provide, you know, your cable and internet and food and housing. And wow. I can't live nowhere like that for that price.
Basically, yeah. I can't beat a deal like that.
And he goes, he was shocked, I think, but also he's like, well, that's good because, you know, it's going to teach him about responsibility and fending for yourself.
Right. Exactly.
And you can't live anywhere for free.
Nope, not at all.
People, if you live with them for free, well, they got to pay bills. they got to pay the bills. So, you know, you need to chip in. Whether it's right. food or, you know, pay the electric bill or pay a, you know, internet bill, you still have to chip in.
Exactly. Well, Flo, tell us how people can reach out to you. Tell again, repeat. It's the blind side of cooking with Flo. Tell us how people might reach out to you.
Well, you can look me up on Facebook. I have a cooking page, The Blind Side of Cooking with Flo, and the cooking group, The Blind Side of Cooking Flo. And I'm also on Twitter, but I don't use that much, so I guess it's The Blind Side of Cooking with Flo on Twitter. I don't know how that goes. But the only platforms I really use is Facebook.
Yeah, I don't use Twitter as much.
Until I get more of a handle on Twitter and how it goes there.
Well, Flo, it's been wonderful talking to you today. I've really enjoyed it. It was nice to meet you sort of in person because I always saw your Facebook page and enjoyed everything that was on it and people, you know, sharing recipes and things. Yes. So thank you again for being here on the Cooking Without Looking TV show podcast. And as we like to say, help us changing the way people see blindness. Have a wonderful day.
Absolutely. You too. Thank you, Renee.
Thank you, Flo. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.